I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If an influencer posts it and they've got a large following, people want that photo.
This is something that has actually fascinated me for quite a while.
You know, I have seen the classic risky image of people taking a selfie, you know, on the edge of a waterfall or a cliff. And you can't help but see that and think, well, something's going wrong there, because that person must know that what they're doing is pretty dangerous and likely not worth it, really.
Mike, today we're talking selfies. There's a word you've promised not to use, though, so I'll say it. Dumb selfies.
Dumb selfies, that's right. You know, I didn't want to call out any listeners who may have a carefully curated Instagram page, but you said it, not me.
I guess I can take the heat.
All right, that guy who you can direct your angry comments to is Chris. I'm Mike, and this is Something Offbeat. This week, I'm going to be talking with Sam Cornell, a PhD candidate at the University of New South Wales in Australia and a co-author of the study entitled Dangerous Selfies Aren't Just Foolish. It's a long title, so you need two covers for this. Dangerous Selfies Aren't Just Foolish. We need to treat them like the public health hazard they really are. It really is interesting. Some of the things that people do online in the name of getting a selfie or just kind of getting their face and their name out there. What made you interested in this?
So I guess I come at it from a public health perspective academically. You know, I've been in public health for public health research for around 5 or 6 years. But for me, it was also the fact that I really love travel and tourism. And I love, you know, aquatic areas, if you will, like beaches and waterfalls and things. And it was kind of putting the two of those things together, because I was seeing, as many people have seen, you know, kind of risky behavior in some of these places. And not just risky behavior, but also just an influx of people that were so obviously only ever going to these places to get a photo, you know, for their Instagram account. And, you know, if you go on anyone's Instagram account or TikTok now these days, they're often flooded with these kinds of images.
Hasn't this sort of thing been going on, though? I mean, pre-selfie, it was just someone else taking the picture. I'm thinking of those guys, the workers sitting on the girder, yeah, you know, building the Empire State Building.
I think yes and no. I like that example you just gave, because I've seen that famous photograph myself. I think, though, there's a reason that photograph is famous, right? Because we look at that and we think, well, that's pretty risky. And not everyone was doing that. You know, so even back then, you weren't having like thousands of people, you know, climbing to the top of the Empire State Building to take photos, you know, sitting on a gurney. So I think that kind of risky behavior actually, to that extent anyway, was actually quite novel.
Mike, I've got some trivia for you.
That must mean Lauren wrote this episode.
No, I just got curious a little bit and started using the internet some.
Fine. If trivia is what you want, then go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I was curious about the photo that you and Sam were talking about. It's called Lunch Atop a Skyscraper and appeared in the New York Herald Tribune in 1932. But the interesting thing is, it's not the Empire State Building.
I did not realize that. But since you say 1932, because I think that the Empire State Building had already been finished for 2 years by 1932. So, all right, lay it on me.
That's the question. Where was it taken?
I would say if it's not the Empire State Building, maybe it's the Chrysler Building.
Close. Is it Rockefeller Center?
Oh, it's okay. Rockefeller Center. Well, that's variant. That's good to know.
I mean, there's only really a handful of answers that you would go to for that question, so.
Well, there's not that much room left in my brain, and now that space is occupied.
I think the difference now in the era of social media and front-facing cameras, you know, on smartphones, is that this behavior has become fairly widespread. You know, it's clearly not everyone in society that's putting themselves in dangerous situations to get photos for social media, but it's definitely a lot of people. And unfortunately, it's a lot of younger people, as you'd probably expect. Younger people tend to take more risks. Young males especially tend to take more risks in every, you know, facet of life. So I think it's the ubiquity of the behavior now. And, you know, just that sort of exponentially increases the risks and the amount of incidents you're going to get. And there's also a lot of people on the planet, quite frankly. You know, there's a lot of people taking a lot of risks. And that has repercussions for places like national parks in the US, in Australia, in other countries where land managers of national parks are actually really struggling to keep up with these latest social media trends.
National parks really do seem to be a magnet for influencers. A quick Google search pulls up a bunch of stories.
I can only imagine.
Couple examples. In 2018, two people fell to their deaths at Yosemite National Park after they set up their camera to try to take a selfie. At the same park, a comedian was investigated after hitting a golf ball for a social media post. And in 2022, another content creator was fined for hitting a golf ball into the Grand Canyon.
Idiots. These people are just complete idiots. And they're doing it for the attention.
Doing it for the attention. And I guess, you know, the more likes, the more views you get, right, the more the algorithm elevates your stuff. This amount of social media exposure, though, is actually increasing tourism to national parks, according to a study published this summer by researchers at Georgia Tech.
I guess that's good and bad, then.
Exactly. More people means more entrance fees and more sales at the gift shop, but it also means more pollution, overcrowding, traffic jams, and I guess people trying to take selfies.
And since this whole dumb selfie thing is a part of what is attracting them to the park because they saw the picture online, it's probably going to make it more likely that they'll go there and take one of their own. True confession, we did take a dumb family selfie once at Sequoia National Park.
Well, in your defense, you said you weren't going to use the word dumb.
Well, this wasn't dumb. In our defense, we didn't know the rules. So we did the whole family forming a human chain and wrapping ourselves around one of the trees, or as far as we could get, which I don't think was even halfway. It's like we were hugging it, tree hugging, right? Well, it was only after we got the shot did we find out you're not supposed to touch the trees. So here we are. I'm coming clean after all these years. But I will say this, after we realized that we'd broken the rules, we did not post that picture.
Well, what do you think the statute of limitations is on that fine?
Maybe I'm about to find out.
Guess the question is why? Why do this? Is it just purely for the vanity of it?
Yeah, I guess I look at it from a public health perspective in terms of the risk and the safety. And I try and stick to my lane on that. But when I've really, you know, given a lot of deep thought and from reading other literature, yes, I think that narcissism is maybe a part of it, but maybe a small part. I think that the bigger aspect is just that humans want to fit in, want to conform, also want to be cool, you know, especially young people, like in any other aspect of their lives, really. It's a lot about being popular. I mean, social media is one big popularity contest.
How does this rise to the level, though, of a public health crisis? Is it just because, as you mentioned earlier, it's become so widespread, everyone's doing it?
Yeah, that's definitely the sort of starting point. The ubiquity of it, how widespread it is. And then it's acknowledging that actually, you know, young people are getting injured, young people are dying throughout the world. It's not just like a one-off in one country. In places like India, I mean, this kind of thing is absolutely rife. And obviously they have a big population, but they've also got a very young population and they've got a very technologically engaged population. So it's also just acknowledging that it's a preventable behavior. You know, this isn't something that needs to happen. People have died taking selfies with guns, for instance, you know, and they've shot themselves literally in the face. So this actually is in a lot of areas. People have died taking selfies or for social media next to train tracks. And it's actually quite a widespread thing.
What are some of the craziest examples that you can share with us of things you've seen?
Like I just said, I think shooting yourself in the face while taking a selfie is pretty extreme. I don't know how you get more extreme than that, quite frankly, and that freaks me out. But I suppose, as I said, in my research, I'm mainly looking at aquatic-related injuries and deaths. I mean, the typical one really is, you know, going to a cliff edge tens of meters or feet above, you know, above a ravine or a pool of water and getting too close, losing your balance, because a lot of it is to do with that. You know, it's simple stuff. You're just not paying attention to your surroundings. You're not situationally aware of your environment, taking a selfie and falling. And it sounds so simple, and it really is. It's sad that distraction can lead to that kind of incident.
Aside from fall risks, animals can also pose a threat to selfie-seeking tourists. So in August, the Jackson Hole Travel and Tourism Board actually introduced a filter that tells users when they're too close to an animal.
You know, the very fact that we need an app to tell you don't get too close to the bear.
I agree. And apparently it lets users select the species they see, and the filter on the camera lets them know whether they're too close to it.
Good God. You know, if they're dumb enough to get that close, what makes you think they'd be smart enough to select the species from a list?
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beyond the obvious, which is to say, don't do that, what are some things that people can do to keep themselves safe if they insist on taking these sorts of pictures and videos?
Right. Well, beyond the obvious, don't do that. I mean, yeah, it's about the context. It's about your environment. I suppose if you're in the natural environment and you're wanting good photos, you need to be aware of your surroundings. I think a lot of that comes down to social norms and peer approval. And so I suppose what I mean by that is it would be good to get influencers on board to communicate these risk messages, because currently they don't really do that, not from what I've seen online. And I've interviewed a bunch of travel influencers about this problem too. And so they see themselves more as entertainers, you know, and content creators is really the new term that they like to use instead of influencer. So I think we need people like that to buy into this problem and take a little bit of responsibility.
I'm glad you mentioned the influencers or content creators. That really does play into this, because with these pictures, these videos that we're talking about, the crazier they are, the more dangerous they are, the more people are going to want to see them. And the more successful these people are.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. The riskier, I mean, content like that does well on social media. That's, you know, it sounds a bit woo to talk about it in this way, but that's the algorithm, right? Like, the algorithm is fine-tuned and it's in its sort of strange way to promulgate, you know, risky or extreme behavior. And I think it's been like that for a number of years now. I'm not exactly sure if it really started out that way, but it's definitely tracked that way as time has gone on social media. So yes, influencers benefit. And I suppose if you're benefiting from it being a certain way, you're not necessarily going to want to change it, because, you know, if you're a travel social media influencer and you're doing risky things and that content does well, you're getting more followers, which opens you up to more brand sponsorships or brand deals. And this is a thing, you know, I've spoken to a bunch of people that do benefit in that way. And then they'll say, well, you know, I'm just here to entertain. I'm just here to have some fun and show people some sights. I'm not here to like really give warnings, because they know that giving warnings and information, that doesn't do as well at all on their social media. They know that.
I said when we first started talking that I wasn't going to use the D word, but I take that back. We're going to entitle this episode, Stop Being a Dumb.
I'm Mike Rogers. Thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeat. And this episode written and produced by Lauren Berry and Chris Blake, with audio editing by Chris Blake and original music by Myron Kaplan. Now to keep listening, please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story you think we should cover, send it to us. We'd love to hear about it. You can contact us at somethingoffbeat@Odyssey. That's AUDACY.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.